Hi, I'm Jay from JinxNavigator.com, and this is my podcast. We're making our way through all of the issues of The Jinx. That's a newsletter for magicians and mentalists that lasted from 1934 to 1941. And a lot of what we do as mystery performers can be traced back to something from The Jinx. This is the podcast where we browse through every issue and find out how many of the ideas are still worth using. The answer is just about all of them. We're looking at issue number 8 today, which contains An Improvement a la Carte by Theodore Animan, The Astral Shirt Again by Dr. L.E. Duncanson, also by the Doctor, Thought Rays, and then Tom Bowyer brings us his publicity trick. Theodore Animan comes back with The Jinx 5-Foot Shelf of Magic. Then we have Transient Money by E.D. Wolfe. And finally, the editorial by Animan. This first article that Animan calls An Improvement a la Carte is a card effect built around a mathematical layout that he credits to Walter B. Gibson, with one piece of handling he believes is his own. Basic premise is this: a helper names any card in the deck. The cards are then dealt and sorted through a series of free choices, each time narrowing the field down. At every step, the helper is making what appears to be completely free decisions. At the end, they've somehow managed to select the exact card they named at the very beginning. Animan offers a second handling where instead of a named card, you make a written prediction and the whole thing plays out with a face-down, borrowed deck, and no faces are ever shown until the very end. Flip it over, that last card matches your prediction. So the method involves a stacked deck and some careful tracking, but the cleverness is in how the helper's choices are handled. Of course, let's just call it magician's choice, because no matter how I pronounce the word that starts with the letters EQ, someone will say it's wrong. It's the GIF versus JIF of the magic world. In any case, they feel like they're deciding freely at every step, and in a sense they are. It just doesn't matter which way they go. The second variation of this feels more feasible to me because in the first version, you're following a stack in your head as someone deals the cards into three piles, waiting for the named card to be dealt, remembering which pile it's in, and then counting how many cards are put on top of that one. After that, you give that pile a rough and haphazard shuffle, during which you surreptitiously get that named card into the ninth position in the pile. It just makes me tired thinking about it. I'm not saying it's a useless effect, but I can't imagine ever performing it. On the other hand, the process that Animan uses to get down to the named card may be worth knowing. I just wouldn't use his handling to get to that point. You can see all of the details on this at JinxNavigator.com. The next one is called The Astral Shirt Again, and it's by Dr. L.E. Duncanson. Animan notes that he published a version of this effect in issue number 6, only to have Dr. Duncanson write in with a version he'd been performing for over 10 years. So this effect is a stage piece. The performer steps into a small cabinet wearing a white shirt. His wrists are tied together in the center of a long rope, and the ends of that are passed through the sides of the cabinet and held by helpers on the outside. A red shirt is handed in. Almost immediately, the white shirt is handed back out, and when the performer steps out of the cabinet, he's wearing the red one. The rope is genuinely tied. The red shirt is genuinely on the performer. So there's a preparation involved that happens before you ever step on stage, and once it's in place, the switch happens cleanly inside the cabinet, but not necessarily quickly. The original text of this does say happens quickly and cleanly. I don't know. We'll get to that in a moment. Silk shirts recommended over linen for practical reasons that will become obvious if you know the method. The effect says almost immediately the white shirt is handed back out, but I'm kind of wondering if maybe the definition of almost immediately hasn't changed quite a bit in the last 90 years, as I think you need at least a minute or two inside the cabinet to do what you need to do. And today, people will be checking Facebook after 20 seconds of waiting. But here's one way I think you could get around that. When it says a red shirt is handed in, the process could take a bit longer to give you the time you need inside the cabinet. So with an assistant outside the cabinet, switch to a Zoolander theme and have three male models. No, wait, really, follow me here. You have three male models strut along the front of the stage or down the catwalk if you have one of those, wherever you're doing this. Each of them's wearing a different colored shirt, and you have someone in the audience choose a color. That model unbuttons the shirt, takes it off, and tosses it into the cabinet on the way off the stage. And now the magician has had plenty of time to do what he needed to do and can immediately come out wearing the shirt. Plus, I think that adding that Zoolander bit makes this a much larger magic effect. So, you remember the old Copperfield, "It never snowed at our house" thing or whatever it was that he did decades ago. Maybe as a child, you wanted to become a male model, but your foster parents laughed at you and tied you up in a closet. And then the whole Zoolander bit could be kind of like a dream sequence. And when you come out of the cabinet wearing the shirt, you strut around the stage and end up at the front of the stage, looking up and out into the future as your hair blows in the wind, courtesy of a leaf blower wielded by a stagehand. I want to do this routine. I do. And I only do mentalism, but I want to do this routine. This is my Penn and Teller fool us entry. The next effect is Thought Rays, also by Dr. Duncanson, and it's a piece of mentalism that requires almost nothing in the way of props. A helper is given a slate and chalk and faces the audience. You turn your back and move up to a far corner of the room, making it completely obvious that you couldn't possibly see anything. The helper thinks of a word and writes it on the slate, then thinks of a number and writes that, then thinks of any design they like and draws it. They show all of this to the audience, then they erase everything and return to their seat. You now take the slate and the chalk. You ask everyone to concentrate on the word and you write something down. Someone tells you what the word was, you turn the slate around and you have it exactly right. Same with the number, same with the drawing. The props needed are minimal, just the slate, the chalk, and a piece of soft, dry cotton cloth. You know, eraser. However, you will need some chemicals, but they really are things that most households will have. The prep you'll do means that erasing the slate doesn't quite do what everyone assumes it does. So this is one of those effects that, presentation-wise, can be as good today as it was 90-some years ago. While the method may work, I'm not going to soak a stick of chalk in 3-in-1 oil. Pretty sure I could use a different method and skip that. Annemann closes by noting that a similar principle was once sold by the mentalist Zansig for $10, and then cheerfully points out that it had already been published in a book in 1907. So full details on this, including what goes on the slate, is at jinxnavigator.com. It's worth a look. This next piece is a little different, and it's really cool. It's Annemann's own recommended reading list for magicians, which he's calling the Jinx 5-Foot Shelf of Magic. He's opinionated about it, which is part of what makes it fun. He's not just listing trick books. He's listing what he considers genuine textbooks, the works that together cover every phase and principle a modern performer needs to know. He says if a complete stranger walked up to him tomorrow and asked what books to buy, this is the list he'd hand them. He gives a special nod to two items he considers essential above all, Stanion's Magic and Tarbell's Course, saying those two alone make a working library. Everything else on the list is a matter of specialization from there. So if you're curious what a well-read magician's shelf looked like in 1935, it's worth a look. The full list and all the details are at jinxnavigator.com. And be sure and look in the comments for that article to see links to video talking about an updated version of Annemann's list. The last magic article in this issue is Transient Money by E.D. Wolfe. And it's a borrowed bill effect with a satisfying nested envelope presentation. So three helpers each examine one of three different sized envelopes. The smallest envelope is sealed and initialed by the first helper, who then places it inside the medium envelope. That one is sealed and initialed by the second helper, who places the whole thing inside the largest envelope. The third helper seals and initials that one, and the nest of three envelopes sits in plain view with all the initials facing the audience the entire time. Okay, that's what the text says, but only the last set of initials is facing the audience because the other ones are sealed in the envelopes. Yeah. Bill is borrowed, initialed by the owner, and vanished with a toss toward the envelopes. Now, sidebar here, I would be inclined to do a bill switch and switch it for a flash bill, and then vanish with the toss toward the audience and, you know, burst of flame. More theatrical. You open the large envelope and hand it to the first helper for identification. Same with the middle one. Smallest envelope is opened last, and from inside it, you very openly remove the borrowed bill and return it to its owner. Every envelope was sealed and initialed by a different helper. Nobody went near them after that, and yet there's the bill. So the method used is a single small prop fits in your pocket and on your thumb. And many people already carry that. So I haven't tried this one, but it feels like it would work as advertised. I do think a switch at the beginning could make things cleaner. Also, as written, you're wearing the gimmick the entire time people are opening the envelopes and you're handing envelopes to the next person. I'm thinking that could be cut down a lot. Full details at jinxnavigator.com, and you can fiddle with it and see if it floats your boat. We have made it to Anneman's editorial in this issue, where he opens with what can only be described as a victory lap. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek celebration of the Jinx coming out on schedule, complete with an imaginary parade through the streets of Magicdom involving flash paper and at least one fishbowl. He then returns to the subject of John Northern Hilliard's unfinished book, which he mentioned in the last issue. There's good news. The publisher, Carl Jones, has confirmed it will go to print. Anneman explains why he included it in his 5-foot shelf, even though it isn't finished yet, and it's a genuinely moving passage about what Hilliard had been building toward for nearly 30 years. He closes that section with a pointed opinion about what should happen if the book can't be completed as written, and he doesn't mince words. It's also a bit of drama. Anneman had been quoted in a magazine advertisement endorsing an effect called Miracle Thought, except he'd never actually seen the method and didn't authorize the endorsement. He sets the record straight here, diplomatically, but firmly, as is our man Ted. He also addresses someone who lifted an effect from an earlier Jinx issue and published it elsewhere under their own name. His response is, he formally gives everyone permission to steal from the Jinx on the grounds that the readers will eventually figure out where it came from anyway. That's it for this episode of the Jinx Navigator podcast. To see every article and every issue of the Jinx, go to jinxnavigator.com and sign up. It is completely free. I'm Jay Jennings from jinxnavigator.com, and I hope you join me again next time when we explore issue number 9, which introduces the famous classic Anneman pseudopsychometry. Talk about an effect that has stood the test of time. And I thank you in advance for helping spread the word about the Jinx Navigator podcast. See you next week.